to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At some point in your life, when you've made a mistake, when you've done something wrong, when you've really goofed up, you've probably maybe thought of the phrase or used the phrase, or at least you've heard the phrase, "Well, I'm only human." What does this phrase mean? It means that there's something wrong with humanity, right? To say I'm only human means that, well, there's something a little faulty with all of us, that to human is air. You've heard that phrase before too. And certainly this is true. To be a human means that we're going to make mistakes. But the Bible tells us a little stronger than that, that to be human means that, well, you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. You're a sinner. I told that to Jenna's parents this morning as we were talking about baptism, that even though she looks so beautiful, so pretty, and just gorgeous, that when she was born, and it's the same for my son Elijah, when he was born human. And to be born human means to be born a sinner. Somebody that is desperately in need from the moment they come out of the womb of Jesus Christ. Today in our gospel lesson, we get one of the two best examples of Christ being human on this earth. We get that in our gospel, Matthew chapter 4, which is the temptations of Christ. And in the temptation of Christ, Jesus comes up against his own humanity. And the devil tries his hardest to tempt Christ against his own humanity. And it starts out, because Jesus is a man, it starts out right at his stomach, because he's been fasting for 40 days, not eating food. And so Satan comes to him, and that's the first place he goes to, is food. Satan says to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answers him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Satan here is attacking Jesus in his hunger, but he's going back to what we talked about in the children's sermon. He's really attacking the Word of God, the Word that Jesus heard at his own baptism. Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, then why remain hungry? Why remain hungry? God isn't providing food for you. Do something about it, Jesus." But Jesus heard those words from the Father just verses before this, when he was baptized. "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." And instead of giving in to the word of Satan, Christ holds on to the word of his Father. He trusts that he is, in fact, the Son of God. He doesn't doubt his sonship, which means he doesn't doubt the Father's fathership. So where we would be led into worry and anxiety over not having those basic staples of human existence, food and bread and water and shelter, and where those, when we have an absence of those things, we worry and we're led to anxiety. Where we doubt then our Father's provision, Jesus does not. He trusts in his Father, and he shoos Satan away with the word of Scripture. But Satan isn't done yet. He's got another temptation up his sleeve. So the devil takes Jesus up to the holy city that is Jerusalem and places him on the pinnacle of the temple. A high point at which if you fell from that, surely you'd die. It's a high place. And Satan says to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And here's where Satan gets really crafty. Satan, the devil, actually quotes Holy Scripture to Jesus. Throw yourself down, Jesus, for it's written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus says to him, Again it's written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Throw yourself down, Satan says. You live by the Word of God. The Word of God is your bread. Fine. Let's test that Word of God. You believe it so much, prove that it is actually good for you. Test it. Throw yourself down. Because here's what the Word of God says. It says right here in the Psalms, Jesus, that God, your Father, whom you trust, and this Word which you trust, will send His angels. They're not going to let you die. Test your faith in this. Where we often are tempted to doubt the promises of God, promises that the Lord gives us in His holy word, promises that say that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are cleansed of the guilt of your sin, that you are a child of God. Where we doubt that, Christ does not. He holds on to the Word of God in faith. But Satan is not done yet. There's a third temptation to come. So again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, and in an instant shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and he says to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You want to follow the Father? Satan says to Jesus. You want to follow God, your Father, who's given you these words? His way leads to your death. You know this, Jesus. Look on that hill over there across the way. On that hill, in a few years' time, there's going to be a cross. And you know who's going to be on that cross? It's going to be you. This is the way of the Father for you. You can go that way. That is God's word for you. Or you can bow down and worship me. In all these kingdoms that you see, I will give to you. He's giving him the easy, the more comfortable way out of things. But Jesus responds to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Where we would seek out the more comfortable, the easier way in life, the way that is not filled with suffering, Christ takes the way of the cross. He knows the way that is before him. He knows the pain and suffering that is waiting for him. He knows the abandonment that all his disciples will just leave once he's there. But he takes that way instead. He is obedient to the word that he so faithfully adheres to. Now, throughout this nation, churches are preaching on this same passage. There's pastors preaching on this same passage. And there's going to be some of them that are going to tell you that we should follow the example of Christ. That in this passage we are given a roadmap on how to resist temptation. And to a degree, a very small degree, that is true. We should look at the Scriptures and we should answer temptation with Scripture. But if that is all this passage is to you, you are going to live a life that is really going to be full of guilt and full of shame. Because there's going to be a time where you are giving in to temptation. It might be the moment you walk out these doors. This passage is far more than setting an example. We are only human. Jesus is as human as we are. But where we are always giving in to temptation and falling into the devil's lies and doubting the Word of God, the promises bestowed upon us, Jesus does not. He is as human as we are, yet more human than we ever have been. Christ is not our example. He is our champion. He is the one who in the wilderness defeated the temptation of Satan, resisted them, did what humanity has never, ever been able to do. It is a foreshadowing of the cross, where once again Christ would be tempted to get out of it, to deny what the people say before Pilate, to claim and call down the angels from the cross to come and rescue him from there. But Jesus does not. He has been given a mission by his Father, as well as promises. Where we are held captive by our disobedience, Jesus sets us free by his obedience. He is your champion. And through his cross, you have his word. Through his cross and through his death and through his resurrection, he gives you his Holy Spirit, that you might be strengthened in faith for the days ahead, that you might resist temptation. But more importantly, that when you do give in, you know where God's word stands. That to us who repent of that sin, the Lord has abundant forgiveness for you. Jesus is your champion this morning and all days throughout our lives. Let us pray. Gracious and most holy Father, we give you thanks for the obedience of your Son, for the faith of Christ, for the wonderful humanity of Christ, which did what we certainly never could do. We pray, O Lord, that we would call down upon our champion, asking him not only to forgive us, but to continue to provide and see to our needs, to help us in times of trials and temptation, to look to you for our strength. We pray this in your name. Amen.